As we prepare to hear Scripture, Marlene, I want to invite you to come on up. It is a familiar passage. The challenge for you hearing it is to hear it with new ears, but truly we will hear a song of praise to this morning as we hear these familiar words.
Today's Scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, 26 through 56. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greetings this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greetings, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from the generation to generation, for he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, and to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned her home. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Do not be afraid. The angel said that to Mary, the angel said that to Zechariah, last week's scripture, and the angel will say that again and again. We have to think about that for a moment, because those of us that were raised on the Hallmark Channel, touched by an angel, where there's someone beautiful and lovely and you're talking and then suddenly a gentle light comes around her head and you know that she's an angel and she's not scary at all. She's just, you know, as beatific as Jan, somebody that you want to talk to. Well, that's not what angels typically are like in Scripture. Gabriel, when he comes to Mary, there's no description of what he's looked like. But when you have a big heavenly being talking to you suddenly, unexpectedly, out of nowhere, the first words really had better be, "Do not be afraid." But for Mary, if she had been paying attention, afraid is exactly what she should have been. It really should have, because the angel was going to proclaim to her that the worst possible thing in the world was going to happen to her, and then he was even going to have the audacity to call her a favored one after he said that. You know, so you know the story that Mary was unmarried and she found herself pregnant. And so we think of that as a single mom, and we think of the challenges that surround that, particularly in that day and age. But it was more than that. She was engaged to Joseph, which was in itself a binding contract. It wasn't just that you returned the ring if you changed your mind. It was a contract. And so being engaged to a man, for her to be pregnant and for the man to be certain it wasn't his, meant that she had betrayed him. And the law at the time gave the betrayed man the legal option of having the woman who betrayed him put to death by stoning. Joseph even could have thrown the first stone himself. And so when the angel says to Mary, "Don't be afraid, but by the way, you're going to be pregnant," this was a potential death sentence for her. Forget just the shame of it that she may have felt. It was a potential death sentence. And so if Mary had been paying attention, she would have been afraid. And the angel tries to make it a little bit better. The angel says, but your son is going to be of the house of David. And that may have sounded like good news, but if the angel had really been telling the truth, perhaps the angel would have said, "And you know, when your son becomes 30, he's going to start preaching publicly, and there will be crowds that will follow him." And Mary may have smiled. And then when he's 33 or so, and Mary, you're 47 or so, you will hold your son in your arms after he has died, Mary. It was not good news if she had known that, if she had known just that. And she had every reason to be afraid when the angel spoke to her that day. "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid indeed." You know, we use those words casually. If you get a holiday invitation and you've got a lot of other things going on and you don't really want to go to this thing that you've gotten invited to, and you find that you've got enough of a conflict that you can't make it, when you call up to say that you can't go to that thing that you really didn't want to, what do you say? "Oh, Jan, I'm afraid I can't make it." When really, I'm not afraid I can't make it. I'm thrilled that I've got a reason not to make it. And so sometimes we use those words like they don't mean that much. But our reality is that there is much that makes us afraid in this life. If you Google, "I am afraid," I tried this, and then it autofills. And at first, autofills in "to die." "I'm afraid to die." "I'm afraid of heights." It autofills in. "I'm afraid of the dark." And "I'm afraid of everything." I like that one the best. I didn't pursue that to see what it said about that. But you know, to be alive means that there are times where we are scared. You know, when we're little, we go to school the first day and we're afraid that nobody will play with us on the playground or sit with us in the lunchroom. And then as we get more into school, we're afraid we won't pass the tests or do well on our SAT or ACT, or we're afraid we won't get into the right college, or we're afraid we won't find the right career, or we're afraid we won't find our right life partner, or we're afraid that we won't have children, or we're afraid we'll have too many children. We're afraid that the kids won't turn out any good. We're afraid that we'll get sick. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of living too long. There is a lot to be scared of in this life, but from beginning to end, and that's even before you turn on the television or open the newspaper. So when the angel says, "Do not be afraid," I think, well, that's nice, but good luck with that, angel. But let's look at Mary's response. Mary says, "Let it be with me according to what you have said." She accepts what the angel says. And because of that, as you know, our world and our reality have changed. I want to be Mary. I really do. I want it to be like it is when you travel abroad. When you go to a foreign country, the first thing you do is you find a place where you can exchange your currency, right? Because U.S. dollars don't work everywhere, and so you need to get euros or pesos or yen or whatever, wherever you are, and you trade that in, and it's great. You take your dollars and trade them for what you need, and you always try to time your spending so that when you get to the airport, you've got that last peso or euro spent so you don't have to exchange it. But if you do have money, then you need to exchange it because it's not any good here. And I like to think that we can take our fears as Mary did and exchange them for peace. You know, let it be according to me, according to your will. And then she was peaceful. And I'd like to think that we can do that. And we can. And I like to think that it's really easy. And I hate that it is not easy. Exchanging our fears for peace is hard work, it turns out. And it takes practice. And I'm not always good at practicing those things I should do, but the beautiful bell choir we heard today, they're so good because of why? Because they practice. You know, the sports, the athletes, the Chiefs football players that you may be watching at noon today or not, you know, they're good when they're good because they practice. And that's true in our spiritual life too. And we need to practice taking those things that scare us, taking our fears, letting the words of the angels, "Do not be afraid," sink into us and exchange them for peace. How do we do that? Well, how did Mary do that? The first thing that Scripture tells us that she did is that she pondered these things in her heart. And I love that image of Mary pondering. Because a lot of times when things happen in our world that make us fearful, we just don't think about it. We prefer not to think about it. Who wants to think about those scary things? But Mary pondered on them. And I think there's power in that, to take those things in our life, in our world, those very things that are scaring us the most, and to ponder them, to read Scripture in light of that, to consider that even out of this tough thing, this thing that we never wanted to face, that God can work and that God is at work. It takes paying attention to opening our eyes and seeing that this hard thing actually can be a possibility for something new that we never imagined. That this really difficult thing in our world, in our life, actually can be the next step for what God has for us. And so that pondering that Mary did is, I think, one of the most important things that we can do. And there's one other thing that she did in Scripture. As soon as the angel was done talking with her, she got herself up and she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. At the other services, we've got Brooke Roscoff and Heather, the sisters, Randy's daughters. They're acting it out. And to see Brooke and Heather being Mary and Elizabeth together, I just love it. The sisterly bond, you even see it even as they're reading their lines for the Scripture. And I think that there's something really important for us, not just sisterly love, but that we need one another in this path. When there is something really tough going on, we can believe that we're the only ones in the world going through it. And there is some truth that we all have to walk our own path, but we'd be surprised at how many others have had, if not our own particular version of tough times, their own version of tough times. And to get with other people and talk about that and share that. To say, you know, I'm in a tough situation. Would you pray with me? I'm not asking you for the answers, but would you at least pray for me during this time? Can I call you up if I get scared? If the fears seem to overwhelm, can I send you an email? Would you be my buddy in this? And there is power and strength in that. We see that in support groups all around the place for all sorts of different things, and they're fabulous. And if there's one that relates to where you are, join it because you need it and other people need you in that. But also, look around at the people God has given you in your life. Do not be afraid, the angel said. And this year, we are invited to take our fears, to give them to God, and in exchange to receive peace, blessed peace. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we ask that you take our fears this day, that you receive them and that you transform them into peace, that you help us practice how to live a life of transforming our fears into your peace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.